Dustin. I think timing is everything.
Start the rebuild. Burn it all down.
You know what's funny? Because I was thinking about doing a podcast. I was like, let's do it on Tuesday. And then I thought to myself, well, wait, why would we do it? And then the Raptors game happened. Like, I didn't feel like that was necessary.
Yeah.
And then we were going to do one after the Leafs loss in game 7. But then I said, let's wait. Oh, boy. As said, timing is everything.
We decided to wait to talk about the Leafs' crippling playoff loss and had a lovely little nugget dropped in our laps on Tuesday night. Excuse me. I had to think about it. Is today Wednesday?
Today, well, as we're recording it, today is Wednesday.
The days are just I'm losing track. Toronto sports just murders your soul every single day, so it's hard to keep track of when it happens because it's so often.
I think Richard's tweet after that loss was probably the best way to describe how Toronto sports fans feel.
We should probably get a pulse check on Richard and just see if he's still, you know, with us.
I think he is.
I would assume so, but
he's too busy working.
Crippled inside.
A 9-to-5 job, that's the issue.
Oy. Well, making money.
But, okay, so I decided today I wanted to start with Raptors first. We're all about Leafs first, but this was the team that the majority feel like this is the team that can get over the curse and the hump of what we call the Toronto, how we even call it, the Toronto sports curse, just the inability for a Toronto sports team okay, close enough, but
we'll come up with a better name.
Yeah, we got some time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
like probably a whole summer.
Hopefully not having to come up with it sooner rather than later.
If they don't figure it out soon, then we're gonna have a whole summer. Okay,
so as we're recording, this is Wednesday, and the Raptors were. I mean, there was some issue. Like, it wasn't a perfect game by any stretch because Cleveland was able to find its way back. But the fourth quarter was just...
They were 4 minutes away from beating Cleveland, which...
And changing the narrative altogether.
If I'm not mistaken, they were swept by Cleveland last time they played them in the playoffs, yeah?
Swept them and weren't even close.
Yeah. Had a chance to do something that they didn't do the last time they played them. 4 minutes to go. I couldn't remember what their lead was at the time.
I think it was 10 points.
Probably about. They had,
I think it was like 92, 82 or something like that.
After the first quarter, they were hovering at close to 20. No, actually.
No, it was, I think it 15. It was, so. Yeah, because Cleveland was starting
It was like 33-19 the first quarter, I think.
Yeah.
Something around that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, it's fun. fun little concept, you know, hitting shots, the basis of what the game of basketball is built around. Yeah, the Raptors didn't want to do that.
And it's just like... I just wondered, it wasn't even that they weren't hitting threes. They weren't even hitting shots in the paint. Like, Jakob Poeltl didn't have a field goal all game.
He had a couple really bad blown layups in that game, too.
Yeah.
He had one where he was wide open on a backdoor cut. I think it was maybe Van Vliet or DeLon, I'd like to say, passed it to him.
I think it was Van Vliet. I think I know
great,
what you're talking
about. Great find on a backdoor cut, and he just missed. Maybe he had some pressure. I'm not the man. I couldn't tell you. But
and then you have JV, who was, I think, was the best Raptor on the court.
If Jonas Valanciunas is the guy that has to win you a basketball game, there's something going wrong with your team.
See, he's the type of guy that can get you started.
Yep.
He's not the guy that I want to finish it. Because Dwayne Casey doesn't trust him in the end of the game.
I mean, the Raptors want to go 3-for-3 with the Cavs. It's not going to happen. The Cavs are just better. They have JR. They have Kyle Korver. Those are two guys that literally wouldn't be in this league if they couldn't shoot three-pointers.
Yeah.
You have Kevin Love, who when he's hot, man, he was not in that game.
He was not. He had such a hard time with JV.
He couldn't buy a basket.
And JV had him looking sideways for most of the game just because...
Well, they said during the broadcast, I think it was Leo Armstrong said... they were trying to lure the Raptors into not playing Valanciunas by playing
a small lineup.
Love at the five. Yeah. But that just makes it easier for... Kevin Love's not a good defender.
No.
When he's guarding his position.
They were trying, and like he couldn't hit his three shots that he was usually making. Like
the one thing. If you're playing small ball, you have to have a stretch 4 or 5 on the floor.
And they didn't have
be
that.
Able to hit those threes and make Valanciunas pay because he can't get out on the perimeter.
No.
And if he gets out on the perimeter, then he's vulnerable to the drive.
Exactly.
So Kevin Love had to do it, and he didn't. Thank God that you have Kyle Korver. You think anyone would be saying that sentence in these playoffs?
That's true. And then you look at, I mean, we haven't even brought up LeBron James yet.
Yeah, apparently one of the worst games he's ever played, I think, was the quote.
I think not one of the better games he's played against the Raptors. He's had way better performances, like in terms of points, compared to what he did against Indiana, where he took the team on his back. But this is where
LeBron was passive the entire game.
Yeah, so that was the point I was going to make, is that he was not looking to do it himself.
Well, no, because he had to do it himself in Game 7 against Indiana, and that's the only reason the Cavs are playing right now.
See, what happened was the Raptors were allowing him to, like, OG, I think, played a pretty good game against him.
OG and Pascal did a good job.
The issue then was that the switch-offs, where there was one, I think, DeMar got in OG's way of defending LeBron for no good reason. Like, lack of communication
help,
there.
Help but defense is great in sports. I know it well because lacrosse is sort of like basketball.
Yeah.
In the sense that you have that 5-on-5 offense and defense with picks and whatnot. Help defense is great. The Raptors overhelped on many occasions that led to three-pointers.
Exactly.
And not just three-pointers. Like, J.R. Smith had a chance to set his feet, eat an entire dinner.
And he's the type of guy that will drain them.
He was the type of guy that was hitting shots with a guy in his jersey last night.
Yeah.
You don't want to give him that much time.
It's just LeBron knows that if your goal is to double him, he's going to make you – you're going to get beat by someone else. Yeah. He feels confident enough to pass it off. Korver and J.R. Smith were the two guys.
Yeah.
So the Raptors – I guess that's the first thing is if you're going to lose to LeBron
– Make LeBron beat you.
Make LeBron beat you.
Yeah.
He was, I think – 1-for-8 from three or something like that?
He was ice cold from three. Well, because he was doing that thing where he hits like 12 jab steps and tries to get the defender off him and then tries to pop it. And LeBron's deadly. Like, he doesn't even hit net most of the time. Like, it's just pure, his shot. It goes down. It's not rattling around in the hoop if he hits it. But, I mean, if you had told me before that game that LeBron would be held to under 30 points, which I believe he was.
Yeah, 23. I think it was 23 points.
If LeBron was held to under 30 points, which hasn't happened a lot in these playoffs, he's been in this season, honestly. Like, LeBron had to score 45 in Game 7 just for the Cavs to win by less than 10.
Yeah. They only won by... Like, this is where I'm not of the panic mode yet.
Nope.
It was 1 point.
Yeah.
That game could have easily been won in that final 10 seconds, which...
With the 12 tips that they had at the ball?
I mean, and Jonas, I think he realized he made a mistake in not trying to get the ball down and then put it in.
Just putting it up, yeah.
He thought he didn't have the time, so the tipping was a better job. But what was with... And I know DeRozan is trying to turn over a new leaf and not trying to do it himself, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, it's
great. But is Van Vliet the guy you want? Van Vliet healthy is the guy I want. I'm not convinced he's healthy.
I don't know.
From what I saw I think it was Josh Lundberg tweeted out that the medical staff was looking at his shoulder during a break.
Yep, the entire commercial break. I mean, he's playing through something. It's obvious.
So why is he the one taking a long range three? Why isn't it Kyle? DeLon Wright made one not too long before that point.
The one that really hurt the Raptors, I think, was CJ. Had that wide open three. The same thing as J.R. Smith. Had all the time in the world and rushed it.
And he was one of the better three... Him and Kyle were the best three-point shooters. Yeah. Serge Ibaka was just... Like, I don't know what... Like, he just has these games... And he's usually better when he's rested. And he wasn't.
He didn't play a whole lot, and that's for a good reason. Because Pascal was more effective. OG was more effective. Like, he was guarding LeBron... Yeah. At times when he was out there.
There have been games where, yes, he has been important, but in the off season when they brought him back, I said, I don't like this. I understand that there's the reputation of him as a good defender. He's not the same player he used to be. He's getting older.
Yeah.
Guys are gonna start.
And he's not a bum by any means.
No, definitely not.
He's worth his money because he blocks everything.
Yeah, it's sure to block
in the paint. And he's, I don't know. It's just, you aren't going to pay Bismack Biyombo that money. I'd rather pay Serge Ibaka that money.
Yeah.
Is Bismack making like $17 million a season now with Orlando or something crazy? $16 million?
He's
got like Mozgov money and he's sitting on the
bench. I wouldn't be paying him that much. But at the same time, you're going to have to pay other guys. And that contract, that search contract, is going to be a bit of a crutch.
Yeah.
I mean, then that just means he has to be better.
I mean, ideally, you'd want CJ taking that shot because he's the three-pointer. He's the three-point shooter.
He is the three-pointer guy they brought in to be the three-point shooter, yes.
He's the guy that you want with that shot. But it seems like he's better at hitting contested shots than he is. I mean, there's just, it's what ifs, honestly. And we've gone over this before, is like, what if this happened? What if the bounce went that way? It's, they lost.
Yeah.
Do you call it a choke job? I sure wouldn't think it's anything other than that.
Yeah.
That's just, we've come to expect it with Toronto teams. It's like, it was that close. And we were saying in our group last night, as soon as it went to overtime, we're like, they're probably going to drop this game.
Because Cleveland is just like, yeah, we didn't play well, but we can still win.
You played better than the Raptors down the stretch, and that's what matters. Doesn't matter how you start, and the Raptors started very well. It matters how you finish, and especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's no, and there's no argument to that.
Also, the Cavs scored 38 in the second quarter, which is
not good. That was not good either.
It's just runs, and the Raptors didn't. The reason I didn't think the Raptors would win once it got to overtime is they didn't hit a single shot in the last 4 minutes of the fourth.
We weren't convinced that the mentality of this group was going to be able to get over it. And it feels like, I mean, just looking after DeMar's comments post game, he's like, we have to act like a-holes.
Yep.
And I was like, what does that mean? Like, what Cleveland plays a psychological game along with, you know, to try to throw you off, throw a team off their game. They don't just try to beat you on the court. They try to beat you off the court, too.
No, you're nobody bench player in a gray suit goes after your global ambassador. That's the way they play. Shout out Kendrick Perkins one time. Way to not play and still talk.
Yeah, that was...
Anyhow.
He had Drake rattled. I've never seen Drake rattled like that.
Yeah, well.
But...
My theory is don't be talking smack if you're in a suit and not injured. And I wrote that in our group.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bum. You were brought in as a body. Don't talk.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You're literally a cheerleader. Just sit on the sideline and clap when LeBron hits threes and wins your team a championship. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
CeeDee Osmond does a good job of it. He hasn't touched the floor.
At the same time, Drake is not supposed to actually be doing that stuff either.
No.
But I mean, I understand what Drake was, and he was livid last night. From like what I was hearing post game, is he was ready to go to Larry Tannenbaum and complains like, it comes with the territory of being on the court.
Yeah,
exactly
the same thing with Drake. If you want to talk, and he was talking to LeBron last night, he was talking to John Wall before in the last series. It comes with the territory. You want to sit courtside and talk your shit, then this is what's going to happen. And Kendrick Perkins, as much as I say he may be a nobody, he's in that situation. I mean, he's obviously not a nobody. He's playing in the NBA, but he's on the floor. He's a player. He's entitled to say whatever the hell he wants. He's not some fan walking up to you and talking.
No, that's true. So, I just remember when people thought... Everyone thought that the whole Drake thing was a bit much.
I like it. I like him at courtside.
I think if you're playing in that environment, be prepared for it, because that's how it is. It's never, basketball's always been like that too.
Yeah.
So
studio gangsters, man.
Yeah.
All the time. A bunch of words, not a lot of action.
What? Okay, I'm gonna give you my reasons why I think they can pull it together. I'm gonna give you my reasons why I don't think they can pull it together. I just want to hear yours first, though. Why do you think the Raptors won't be able to get the job done and get back into the series?
I think I talked about it last night when we were just texting back and forth. It's like that. The out of the timeout when they had the 5 second call and the Cavs got possession back, and I believe they hit a three off of that.
Probably.
I think it was Korver, Kevin Love hit a three. I sort of just said this is like the Raptors as a whole, like the history of their franchise summed up in one play.
Mm-hmm.
I I love Dwayne Casey, and he's should be considered coach of the year, but he might have the most unimaginative play calls of all time out of a timeout. It's Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan with the ball. It's an ISO with a crap pick from Valanciunas, and that's it. And that's what they were looking for somebody. Nobody was open. And you, even if you throw it away, you simply can't just have nothing, not even an inbound off of five and a 5 second call off a timeout.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable, especially in the playoffs. Game one, that's inexcusable. Game whatever this is, 90 something.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. My thing is...
Sorry, 89.
Yes.
I had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, to do the math.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be doing math.
No, it's why I'm in journalism and sports media in general, so I'm not good at it.
This is my issue. Can this Raptors team win in Cleveland? They've come close.
Nope, not a chance.
Indiana's done it. I don't know how...
Indiana did a lot of things that the Raptors didn't do.
I don't know how... I mean, I know in hockey, film is almost everything in a way, in football too. Like, film is everything. How teams play, how you can try to pick up their tendencies. How did they not look at that Indiana Pacers series and see how Indiana was able to win, even at times when LeBron was great?
It's not even limiting LeBron. It's just his team is run off of give LeBron the ball and stand around and wait for LeBron to feed you a grade A chance. LeBron draws the defense in, and his teammates stand around and wait for him to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
The team runs off LeBron. Ty Lue, I'm just convinced, is there because they need a guy standing on the sideline. I don't think he does anything. Still. Or not as much as LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of just...
It doesn't, because you've seen this story before.
Yeah.
We don't like the ending.
No, and it's the ending that everyone doesn't want to believe is going to happen, but let's be honest with ourselves here. It's probably going to happen. It's a star-driven league. LeBron's getting the calls, regardless of if the Raptors... The good thing that the Raptors did last night is they made the refs call fouls on the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't relying on crap opportunities and crying for calls. They went into the paint and they drew them.
Yeah, and they stopped doing that.
Yep.
But I think what makes the Raptors, and I think this is going to be the key for them to getting back into it, is playing a faster up-tempo game.
Yeah, they slowed down in the last 4 minutes.
And were they tired?
Maybe.
I don't.
But LeBron was tired, right?
Yeah. But LeBron is fine at slowing the game down.
LeBron's full of crap. He's not tired.
He's not.
Like, I played 47 minutes last night. He's not tired.
Let's be real here. He's not tired. Let's cool that. But... Yeah, I think part of it's mental.
Yep.
I think the pressure got to them, and you need someone on that team. And Kyle did it at one point in overtime where he made that great drive for the layup and got the 3-point play. You need a guy like that to say to the team, look, we got this.
Yeah.
But last year that was not the case. Like,
well, where's DeMar? He's your MVP.
He made some shots. He made
some shots.
Yeah,
he didn't make the
shots you need him to make. That's true, but he was trying again from the three, and it's like if it's not going out for you after the second try.
But I know DeMar is supposed to be this like new remade player with this 3-point shot. DeMar has been a mid range star for his entire career. He backs a player down and then hits that.
He's also really good at using that spin move and driving to the lane. That's his bread and butter. He should be using it more.
He should be, because who's he matched up on? I don't think it was LeBron last night. LeBron was on Kyle.
LeBron was on Kyle or OG, depending on
the matchup.
But
Kyle down the stretch.
I think it was Tristan Thompson was on DeMar.
That's even worse.
That was funny. That was funny.
Tristan Thompson. How must it feel to come back to your home city?
And get booed and
have a Chloe Chant start when you're shooting free throws. That must feel great.
Oh, well, it's not like he didn't do it himself, huh?
He spent a lot of time watching hockey, I'm assuming, during his time in Brampton and Toronto as a whole, because he was very hockey-like in his interview last night.
Well, it's...
Team effort, pucks in deep.
He was prepared for it.
Guys did well.
Well, yeah, he also knows what's going on around him, too.
Well, I'd expect something just for basketball, because there's so many outrageous quotes and trash talk, like the Kelly Oubre and DeLon Wright thing.
That was great.
Outrageous. So dumb.
But again, where is that? Where is some of that fire, that passion, and just making those plays?
Because
like,
nobody's going to go after LeBron because you can't flap LeBron. If somebody could, it would have been done already in his career. Lance Stephenson tried. He laughed it off when he blew in his ear.
That was still weird.
It's extremely weird. The guy's a weird dude.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it works for him. So who's there to blame? He's making his money. Because he's weird and gets in guys' heads.
I'm very curious to see how game two goes. Because I think if the Raptors...
If the Raptors go down 2-0, it's probably a sweep.
No, I wouldn't say a sweep.
I wouldn't say a sweep either. But if they need to win this next game. This is the biggest... I
would say it's hard to say
the
game.
Biggest game in the franchise's history tomorrow. Or tomorrow, yeah.
Again, they
played him in the conference final. So that was big games. But that was also not this team. They were not the one seed.
No.
This is, I believe I've seen it on Twitter, this is a franchise-defining series. These next seven games.
For a lot of guys, it is.
For the city.
Yeah.
If they can't beat the Cavs, they might as well just...
No other media outlet is ever going to give the Raptors the benefit of the doubt. Like...
No.
Bart, like Charles...
When we played the Cavs in the final, in the conference finals a couple of years ago, you think you would have seen Charles Barkley? He didn't.
No.
They
and Charles Barkley is hanging on by a thread right now with his support.
Oh yeah. Because he's who bets on somebody other than LeBron? Nobody.
And that's what Shaq was doing. I think Kenny Smith, he wanted to sway away. It's too hard. So
I mean, Steph's back for the Warriors now. Do you not believe that the Warriors-Cavs again could happen? I believe it. I think the Warriors can beat the Rockets, no problem.
Yeah.
And if LeBron gets past the Raptors, it's over. Let's just take him to the final. Because the Celtics and the Sixers, they're not beating LeBron.
Yeah.
If the team with the deepest roster in the NBA can't beat LeBron, then nobody's beating LeBron. Except maybe the Warriors.
Yeah. All right, so going from one demoralizing team to one that just takes your heart.
Sit on my couch, David. Let's talk.
The one that takes your heart, not even here, your hopes and dreams, gets them high up just for it to fall crashing down.
Toronto FC?
No, well, the game.
That was pretty heartbreaking.
That was pretty heartbreaking, too. I won't lie.
Let's be honest here. Everyone, at least I... After game 7 with the Leafs was like, what was it, like maybe 2 hours after the TFC game ended? The TFC game ended 2 hours after because it was a 9 p.m. start. So it was like maybe 10 p.m. And it was like the initial rage from like, I stopped watching the game after the Pasternak goal.
Everyone was just like, Leaf fans, don't worry, TFC's got you covered.
We got it. You got us. Don't worry. TFC. It's a Toronto sports team. They don't got us. They're gonna find the worst possible way to lose of anything. And of course they did. And of course it was glorious. But what I'm trying to say here is they were like, you were just sort of calming down after the Leafs lost and like thinking rationally. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, I'll watch the football game. We'll just see how it goes. The match, excuse me. I'm still getting my soccer terms right. And I'll calm down and hopefully TFC can pull out something. And if they don't, then they were
almost
down.
Did.
Yeah, they were down on aggregate.
No team wins in Mexico, I've been told.
Until TFC. And they didn't even win.
They technically won.
They won
the game,
but they didn't.
They lost, I am so surprised.
I'm not
that a championship like that does not even go to extra time.
Oh, that yeah, that's dumb.
And
that's ridiculous.
Like, almost like the Raptors. I think it was Delgado.
No, Delgado scored.
Who was no?
Delgado missed in the last minute.
Wide open. He did exactly what JV did, was thought he didn't have the time
and rushed
skied it and rushed it over the net. And I knew
that would have made him an absolute hero in Toronto as well.
It would have.
He would have gone down in history.
It would have. For soccer in Canada, of course.
Oh, just soccer in general. That's the first time an MLS side would have gone into Mexico and won.
Yeah.
And the first time an
Champions League.
The first time they'd won Champions League. He would have gone down as a hero in MLS history.
Yeah.
So, even though he's still young and he has a ton of career ahead of him. like that would have cemented his legacy this early. And then, I mean, I love Jonathan Osorio because he's a local kid, but I pretty much was reserved to the fact that he was going to miss that free kick or penalty kick.
Yeah.
Man. And then Michael Bradley is just Michael Bradley. I mean,
yeah,
he did it in the MLS Cup.
He did. So,
what are you going to do?
All right.
I mean, one thing about that game.
Go ahead.
I feel like it may have been a different outcome if Josie didn't get injured in the last couple minutes because they did take him off.
That's true. But Tossian Ricketts is good in those situations.
But who do you want taking penalties?
Well, yes, that's true.
One of the best strikers in the club's history or a guy that's just come on. However good Tossian is.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Josie.
Giovinco kind of, as an Italian, when I see any Italian going up for a penalty kick, my heart was already up, and then he...
Let's be honest, he's no Zaza, so...
Oh, thank God. Yeah, Italy, as I said, Italy could have used a guy like Giovinco.
I'm a big West Ham supporter in the Prem, and yeah, we had Zaza for a bit, and I didn't... Just getting into it with the soccer, I didn't know what Zaza had done in the Euro. It was the Euros, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
Attaboy.
Today is just reliving nightmares.
Yep.
Really, that's all it
there
is.
Will be pain. I think that's what Mike Babcock was talking about, was this very podcast.
Especially for us. Man, you know what?
Where do you want to start?
After seeing game one between
Boston... Let's run Jake Gardner out of town right now.
We'll get to that in a second. Before I get to that, though, just seeing game one between Tampa and Boston, what they did to Tampa in that third period. Okay. Boston, it wasn't Boston's just the Leafs. Good. Yeah, that top line. But I think it's exactly the same situation where you're up and then something inside just says, I don't know if we can do this. That's what I think the Leafs went through. Jake Gardner, I will say, periods one and two, it doesn't matter how bad he was. He had a chance to rewrite in the third period. And Brian Burke was right in saying that Jake put too much on himself.
Yep.
That is where someone, either on the bench, during the intermission, failed to get him back into the game. His head back into the game. Because he made the same mistakes where he was just throwing the puck out blindly or just throwing those stretch passes that were Boston easily knew were coming and picked off and didn't get off for the change and then ended up in the back of the net. Somebody did not go to Jake and says, this is game seven. You need to stop that. I understand that in game seven you want to push, but there's a difference between pushing the play and being dumb. And it was dumb.
Well, at least played themselves out of a win there. So, not just Jake, yeah. As it's been said.
It's not just him. Look,
the Leafs curled up in a ball and died in that third period.
And again, I understand also the people are defending Jake.
You know what? I was on Jake after the game ended.
But you also we also understand that it's...
There's the fan part of me that says, boy, he just cost the team a couple times. That... Mm-hmm. It's not all on him. Let's be honest.
We have to stop thinking that way.
The last goal that DeBrus scored, that's a stoppable puck.
It is. It was, again, not a great decision on his part.
That was a bad turn.
It was. Hindsight. And Mark Savard, I think Mark Savard was the one that was putting it out on Twitter about that. Savvy. Yeah, it all comes down to, in those moments... where Toronto had the 4-3 lead, Mike Babcock looked at his bench and said, I don't have the same thing Boston has to keep this lead from getting away from us.
The Leafs were hoping that Freddie would stand on his head again.
You can't expect...
No, that's not a reasonable expectation.
There's a difference between standing on your head and just making the saves that you need to make.
For Mike Babcock all season, it's been... Not can the defense bail me out here, and if the forwards don't outscore what the defense can't stop, mm-hmm. It's been can Freddie steal us this game? He's had to do it in game three. I've completely blocked the series out of my mind when he made that huge paddle save. Was it game three?
Game three.
Yeah.
Game three.
He did it in game six.
He did it in game five.
What do you want from the guy? He was pitching what an under 90 save percentage and was playing out of his mind in situations the Leafs needed him.
Let me also point to another team, the Nashville Predators. I will say yes. The recent loss was a bit of... Let's take that one away. Pecorino has not been the savior. He's not been playing... He hasn't been playing lights out. Has that stopped them?
But let's...
No.
Let's call it for what it is here. Tuukka Rask... Excuse me. Tuukka Rask wasn't a world beater either.
He wasn't.
He looked bad.
And what? And did the Leafs make him pay for it?
No.
For the first four goals, they did. After that...
And they stopped shooting.
But Boston also understood that they needed to help their goalie.
Yep.
If your goalie is not making the saves you need him to make, as a player, you need to say, oh, I need to support him better then. I need to
You need help. To show up as a team. And
you do.
The explanation or the reasoning, I think that's the word I'm looking for. You don't... Curling up into a ball is not how you help your goalie.
Nope.
That just gets him shelled with more shots. Not being able to clear a puck is not how you help
your goalie. That was the crutch. Not being able to clear the zone efficiently enough to take the pressure off. And the Leafs did that against Boston too, though.
Let's be honest. I mean, if you want to talk about Lou just retiring or not retiring, excuse me. Not coming back as the GM.
Brandon Shanahan making that decision.
And I wrote as much on Twitter, as much as Thomas Plekanec has shown that he is a helpful contributor to this team in this playoff series, why do you spend a second round pick on a fourth line center when you could help your decor and possibly avoid this?
Imagine if they didn't sign, if they didn't trade for Plekanec.
Dominic Moore looked really good in that series.
Kadri didn't get suspended.
It's a whole different series.
I think this Kadri suspension cost at least game two. At least game two.
Yeah.
Game three, obviously they won. Game four, could have used Kadri. No lie.
Just insert game here, could have used Kadri.
You can't. There was, especially like Pittsburgh, I think, had the same thing happen with Malkin being out. I think they won game one. Okay. We also have Derek Brassard, who is, I think, a way better
at Sidney Crosby, position. Who's kind of okay.
And this is the point I was going to get to. We look at Thomas Plekanec, we look at Kadri. There's one guy who just did not have the series that he needed to have.
They were one stoppage away from Patrick Marleau playing center for the rest of the series.
That's true.
They were Plekanec or Moore going down away.
Mm-hmm. But Austin Matthews, I hate to be the guy that's saying it was like he did not show up in the way that he needed to. I'm hoping that part of it was the injuries. I just hope it's not mental, because if Babcock's comments in the locker room cleanup says much, Matthews was frustrated and he couldn't get him out of it.
Yeah, and if you're going to get rattled, you're just not going to play the same way you are.
And let me be the one to bring this up, because I wasn't working that day, but I saw the tweet from Sportsnet about the Matthews Babcock relationship stuff.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, this is a load of crap. Kiprios doesn't know what he's talking about. Kiprios wasn't the only one that thought that. Some people may have...
It's not something you just throw out.
Yeah, I mean, he he's watching the game just
like
everyone else.
Hey, guys, Babcock lost Matthews. Huh. What do y'all think? It's not something you just throw out. It's from experience.
Yeah. He looked at how Matthews was playing, and I saw it too. Like, you see it after a shift or on the bench when he's just blowing, like, you know, I'm trying to visualize, but like when you have that frustrated like look on your face,
you're just
and
like
trying to like
physically venting,
venting yourself. That is on the player to try to sort it out. But as a young player, when you're a coach with a young player, you have to put him in a situation where he can get better. Connor Brown, it worked in game, I think, what was that, game five?
Game five, he scored that goal on his doorstep.
Yeah, great goal by Connor Brown.
Yeah.
Notice the one thing Babcock never did to get Matthews going?
Marner.
Never put him with Mitch Marner. He did it only once this season, and they that scored. Was when Matthews was going through that scoring slump, and Matt Martin played on that line too, if we don't forget. remember that?
Boy. That'll be an all-time.
You know what? Great. But I also...
Look, can we just appreciate for a sec? That'll be an all-time great Leafs line. Matthews,
can
Martin,
we also people, I mean, the only thing that probably kept Matt Martin from being in that lineup was like foot speed stuff, but I thought Matt Martin could have played up to snuff with some of what Boston was showing.
No. I wouldn't have put him in the lineup.
Wouldn't have put him in the expense of an Andreas Janssen or any of those guys. But in terms of effectiveness, JVR didn't have the playoffs he should have had. He probably lost a team.
That's the risk you take.
It is.
Because he put up a ton of goals. People thought he'd make it to 40 by the end of the season.
I thought that would have been maybe possible, but then he was turning it on at the wrong time. That was the issue. So, I can't think of the reason why, but why wasn't that a consideration of putting Marner with Matthews? Oh my god,
Matt Marner. They're the same person now.
I'm thinking of that Intact commercial.
One being
after that Intact commercial, I'm like.
You wish you were this stylish.
Exactly. But why wasn't that considered? Why do you think?
That's a great shirt on Matt Martin, by the way. That's just side.
Your top player was not performing at the level he should have. Clearly overwhelmed by the matchups. Marner was, I think, the best forward on that Leafs in that series.
Yeah.
And was it maybe Babcock didn't trust to put Matthews with Marner? He didn't want to have two guys slumping, or just having that division of not having them all at the same line?
I think Babcock's stubborn to a degree with his lines, and for good reason. I mean, when you got Kadri back in there, let's be honest with ourselves, Marner, Kadri, and Marlowe was the best line down the stretch, I think. Marner, Matthews, and Nylander did their stuff, but like just general play, those guys played big defensive minutes against top lines because Kadri and Marlowe had their assignments. I mean, they played well. Marlowe scored the first two goals in Game 7 for the Leafs.
And Marner was a big reason for one of them.
Yep. Marner, and you put him with... It's just... Again, what if? What if Marner was with Matthews? I mean, it just... The rest of the line suffer if Marner's not with Kadri and Marlowe.
But then look, but you take Marner off that line with Marlowe and Kadri, you can't put Nylander there?
You could.
And people are like, oh, the defense. Marner was no defensive stud.
No. He's just out there because they work well together offensively, but he's not a shutdown player.
So
please spare me with this. Matthews is not as good as Marner now. Marner is a good player, but nobody's second guessing who the top dog of this team is. And I don't think Mitch is either. Mitch is a good, great player.
Yeah.
Fantastic hockey player. But Matthews had a bad series. It doesn't mean he's the worst player of the big three now. William Nylander scored a goal. He didn't score his first goal till what, game
six?
Six.
He had that goal to put them up 2-1.
Yeah, that was with Kadri.
It was. Zaitsev's shot.
Yeah,
it was just that was when Babcock was experimenting with the Plekanec, Marlowe, Marner line, and then he had Kadri, Janssen, and
Willie. Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating, and we're going to be frustrated and looking for answers all summer, but...
Okay, so this is where... Do you want to talk about the GM stuff, or do you want to talk about the off-season stuff?
Surprise me.
Okay.
We can talk draft. We can talk free agency. You can do whatever you want. I can talk draft for days.
Well, so I don't know if you noticed, but on... The news came on Monday, right?
The Ottawa Senators lost the draft lottery. I did notice.
That was great. So did Montreal Canadiens.
And the Montreal Canadiens basically lost the draft lottery because they got the worst pick.
The worst of the three. They also got a top three pick, so good.
How do you lose while still winning? Montreal can show you.
The Dallas Cowboys found that out when Jason Wynn...
Montreal can show you. Just look at the Carey Price contract.
That too. So on Monday, I was writing this article. It was actually supposed to go up on Sunday, but I didn't get a chance to finish
it. David.
I wrote about, is it time? This is time for Kyle Dubas to make his mark on the roster.
Oh, did you write that before?
So this article went up. I wrote it. I finished this Sunday night.
I didn't know this.
And it went up Monday morning. Not even 2 hours later. So I'm out there. I'm tweeting this stuff. I was about to tweet it out. I see the tweet from the Leafs PR that Lou Lamoriello is not going to return. And I went, well, that is unfortunate set of circumstances or some... As I said in the beginning,
set of circumstances.
Well, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, timing is everything.
You sound like Mayor Quimby, sort of, from The Simpsons. A little Lou Lamoriello.
Not bad. Not bad.
Love the guy.
If he hears this,
which I'm sure he won't, he'll probably have me killed tomorrow. So pray for me.
But listening to what Shanahan had to say, it did not seem like he had it in his intentions for Lamoriello to be there after this year.
Well, the weird thing to me is that they announced this, but Lou was asked about if he would return during locker cleanout, and obviously Lou's not going to say no.
No.
Because that would be the headline of the day.
Yeah, he's
going to wait. But the turnaround from, I believe the quote was, I'm just going to focus on what my job is with the Leafs, or something along those lines.
And apparently that meant a lot. And a couple
days later, it comes out for the PR that he's not coming back. It's sort of like, I don't know. He obviously wasn't going to announce it there, but it's just weird how quickly that came out after.
I think he realizes, and I think now I've realized, more so than now, who really runs the ship. Everyone would talk about Lou's rules and all that stuff. It's not his team.
Well, the one thing that Lou made, I don't know if you saw this, Travis Dermott and Andreas Johnsson obviously went back to the Marlies, and the Leafs were reportedly ordered to shave their playoff beards as soon as the series was over.
Yeah.
So Dermott said he had to start regrowing his playoff beard when he got back to Rico with the Marlies.
True.
So Lou's rules still exist. They just
existed until he's no longer GM.
You know what did Thomas Plekanec have his goatee in the postseason?
Yes, he did.
I didn't even notice because I'm just so used to seeing him with
it. I mean, it was kind of growing back. Like, he had some facial. It wasn't clean.
Yeah, no.
But
it's a playoff beard. It doesn't have to be.
But as I was kind of saying was that when we talked about Lou's rules, it's not his team. This is Shanahan's ship. He's the commander. He is the captain. He does whatever he wants. And I like that. The reason why I like that is because it seems like, I mean, yeah, he reports to the board of MLSE, but he's got the power. Now, some people will say, if he doesn't make the right moves. He clearly has a plan.
Call it a Shanna plan.
Mm-hmm. Some may think that he was wrong about how he went about not having the GM, the replacement GM, ready to go. But I think he has a way of working things. And he does it in a way that people do not expect it.
Yep.
People would have expected a GM to be ready to go.
You think he doesn't have somebody?
He does.
He's had somebody ready.
Look, there's a sense, and he even said it. This was a day for me to talk with Lou and get this all sorted out with him.
Yep.
Were
you in on that conference call?
No.
No.
Okay. No, I did not get in on that conference call.
That was one of my favorite things to do at 590. They had us do conference calls.
I was watching Doctor Strange because I need to get caught up on my Avengers stuff. Way. I just looked at the Twitter, what people were saying. But, like, Everything from that conference call leads me to suggest, look, he doesn't seem frantic. This didn't seem like a decision that came out of nowhere. Look, this is probably a decision. Like, I said that he probably had already made that decision at some point. Yeah. But I think after that series, it was more so because he was like, maybe if we do move on, like, if they move on, we're not having this discussion.
Yeah.
The Leafs are preparing for a round two series, right? Yeah,
like 3 days later.
Exactly. So I think that's where people have to realize that this is not a decision that is made during the playoffs, like before the playoffs even start. This is a decision that's made after the playoffs.
Yep. Speaking of which, I mean, I think we both know who the replacement is.
Yeah, it's Kyle Dubas.
Unless it's not, which would be... A massive slap in the face.
People are bringing up the Mark Hunter thing.
I brought it up as a joke. And people didn't take it as a joke.
Mark Hunter has done a great job. Yeah, and especially the 2015 draft, which was talking about reversing the fortune
core of
franchise.
Your Toronto Marlies was that 2015 draft.
Exactly.
Right? You've got Timoshov, you've got Dermott, you've got Kostolev, but he wasn't. He obviously didn't work out. Nielsen, Jerkles, Bracco. Unbelievable.
Timoshov.
Yeah, Timoshov was a fifth or sixth rounder.
Fifth rounder.
And
Jerkles
I think, I'd like to say DeRoche was in that draft as well.
Sixth.
So guys that all had chances with the Marlies, two of them didn't work out, but like the others are core pieces.
If you hit, I think the one they had actually.
Sorry,
picks.
Dermott is the biggest
Dermott
pick of that draft that's still in the AHL.
Yep, well, NHLer for now. I would say full-time NHLer next season.
Absolutely.
No reason why to think not, but we'll get to that later. The reason why I say it's Dubas over Hunter,
It's Dubas over Hunter.
Because
there's no reason as
look
to
at,
why.
Look at what the roles are. Dubas is right there in the right behind Lou in terms of positional, I would say.
Dubas is already running a team. He's running the Marlies, and that's probably the only reason he's not the GM right now is because the Marlies are still in the playoffs.
That's also true. But I mean,
I would argue that's the reason he hasn't been named yet, is because they don't want to name him right in the middle of his team
and look,
playing.
And what's Mark Hunter doing right now?
Scouting.
He's scouting for the draft.
He's the assistant GM, but he's also the head scout, basically.
He's the head of development and scouting, I believe, is that? Lines. Do you think Shanahan wants to take them away from that?
Right now? No.
Right now? I don't think so.
I mean, Dubas isn't doing anything, I don't think, unless I'm...
They probably,
he does stuff behind the scenes.
He does.
Scouting's way more important, and you can't just take somebody away from scouting to do that. All these
Mark Hunter said before, he spends a lot of time in rinks.
Do you even know what Mark Hunter's voice sounds like? I can't recall.
I do. I just don't even know where Mark Hunter is right now, either.
I would go ahead and say he's in some random rink in Sudbury or something.
Or in overseas.
Maybe he's in the Sioux, because they had a pretty good series going. Sweden.
Because, you know, apparently the Leafs really like overseas now for players.
Not bad. I would, I mean, if the Leafs don't go defense in this draft, I'll just say that there's probably a forward from Russia coming, I would think. Or Sweden.
Or a defenseman from Russia.
They're going to take somebody like Vladislav Kara last year, who was such an under-the-radar pick that he didn't even have a hockey DB page.
True.
Do you know how ridiculous that has to be that
HockeyDB.com
doesn't even know who you are?
There's a lot of people who have their own hockey DB, right?
Yeah.
This is where... Yeah, and that's my reason. It might... I mean, Shanahan might have another reason. Maybe he has to... Maybe it's just for the board of MLSC, they need him to also explore other options as well.
Yeah.
It could just be... We won't know until a report comes out that he's met with another GM from another team. Because as we know... I mean, look, Larimer was just let go on Monday, and there has been no reports of any meetings as of we're recording this.
No.
I swear something happens when I post this, I'm going to lose it.
I'll check Twitter now.
Austin is going to be scrolling up and down
there
the
had to be
podcast.
Certain promises made to Kyle Dubas, because he could very well have been...
And to Mark Hunter, too, because look...
Was it the Avalanche that asked to interview him last summer?
It was.
He could very well not even be in Toronto if they don't make certain promises to him about the future.
Yeah. I mean, and then... And I think Lamoriello knew that, too.
Oh, interesting.
Was that...
Just on the Marlies real quick. Jesper Lindgren's returned to Finland because he's not playing with the Marlies. They haven't played him in the playoffs. So he's returning to train with HPK, which is the team he played for this summer.
The playoffs are done, too, right?
Yeah, all European playoffs are done, but he's going to train with the team because they're still over in Finland.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
That's my take on it. I mean, what also gets me about the whole Mark Hunter thing is that Mark Hunter seems very content on not being the frontline guy.
Yeah.
From what I can tell.
Yeah, he's very much a behind-the-scenes kind of guy, which is cool. You don't see him until the draft.
Exactly. So, would I be shocked if Dubas isn't, if it's Hunter over Dubas? I will be, just based on where...
I would be shocked.
But... I wouldn't be like, oh, this is a pay, like this.
There's two top candidates for the job, so that's possible. But I don't think Mark Hunter wants that to be in the spotlight. No. He was a CHL GM, I believe, for London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the owner slash assistant GM. Coach.
He did everything in London.
Pretty much.
He was on the bench with Dale.
They own the team, so they can do whatever they want.
He could have run the concessions if he wanted to during the game. Just it's like that England, that goalkeeper in England that went up and got a hot dog in the middle of the game. That was a great story.
Sounds like
it was like a fifth division
hot time.
Yeah, the worst.
That was bad.
yeah, but I mean, when the draft comes around, I would assume Hunter will still be in his position, and that's the next thing to look forward to with the Leafs.
The AHL playoffs. When do they finish usually?
Same time as the NHL, about like early June, maybe.
Do you expect a decision to be made before the draft, or do you think they're comfortable going to the draft?
Well, I mean, Mark Hunter does all their picks, so I don't think it's a necessary thing, but I think just for the sake of doing it, they'll name somebody right away. 31 years old, though, as a GM, that'd be crazy for Dubas.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yep, absolutely. He knows the team. He's been here for, what, 4 years now?
4 years, yep.
Why not? It's not like a guy, I mean, like Arizona bringing Chayka in. He's a young guy, but he also wasn't, I don't believe he was in the organization.
No.
When he was signed. So. Dubas has been around. He knows the system. He knows the players. It seems like the time's right.
And until Lamoriello is officially gone, he's still there.
Yeah.
Advising.
Yeah.
Right? So.
He won't allow Kyle to go gossip to the media about trade rumors.
You're Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out at you. You're Kyle Dubas. Your first order of business is what?
Keeping that fire Twitter page going, because he has a great social media.
I haven't seen a post in a while.
I'm pretty sure his cover photo is still Kermit sipping the tea, which is the best thing ever. He's got a little bit of pizzazz to him as a GM, which is good, because most hockey guys are just dull.
He's not dull. No.
No, he's a character.
He has some personality. Sorry,
he's a character in a hockey sense.
Yeah.
He's out there in terms of what hockey is.
So
his first move.
Yeah, or what's your first order of business? Doesn't even have to be a move. What do you think?
Oh, boy. Well, I guess the draft is the first order of business. Can you sign international free agents before July 1st?
No.
No. So the draft is you get.
No contracts being done, none of that stuff?
No, you can't until after the draft. I don't think you can negotiate.
There is one contract you can. William Nylander. His contract, he's an RFA this summer.
Oh, right.
Matthews and Marner, you can't do.
I was going to say, Matthews and Marner, you can only do after July 1st.
You're telling me that no other team has been negotiating contracts before the deadline? Like,
oh, they do it. They just not reported. Obviously, every team does that.
Are you convinced that Matthews and Marner will get done this summer?
I hope it does.
I think that's more of a Shanahan deal. Shanahan's
going to oversee that. I had a weird conspiracy theory. I don't remember from where. Is that if they don't get Matthews locked up, then Arizona's just going to throw everything at him to try and land him.
Let's not start that again.
Like Shea Weber-esque offer sheet.
Well, they can only offer him how much?
Didn't they offer them like 13 a season or something crazy, or 14 a season? And
it was nuts.
Philadelphia?
I don't know why Nashville didn't do it.
I mean, obviously the annual value, but like with bonuses, it was like 13, 14 million a season.
It's crazy how Nashville is totally different from that now, from that time.
Thanks, Habs.
Yep. Well, not even the Habs. Just they.
Not even the Habs, but still done, very much the Habs.
They've done what I'm kind of not happy the Leafs didn't do, which was you draft defensemen, you develop them.
You draft defensemen that at the time weren't exactly coveted.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Ellis was a good defenseman and had a lot of pedigree with Canada.
He had the pedigree with Canada, yeah.
But he wasn't a top pick.
No.
He and I think it was he and Cam Fowler played on a pair together, and they were both late first rounders. I don't even think Ellis was a first rounder. Cam Fowler was 24th pick in his draft.
No, Cam Fowler was top 5 pick.
Oh.
You might be getting maybe him switching mixed up. You're mixing him up with someone. I think Cam Fowler's American, too.
Cam
Fowler.
No, they played on a pair with Windsor, not with Canada.
Oh,
they were on that Taylor Hall dynasty team.
Oh, okay. Fowler was a top, I think he was fourth overall by Anaheim in that year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. No, Ellis was the late pick.
No, wait. I think Fowler was earlier than that, because Brian Burke picked him up high. He picked him high that year, because that was Brian Burke who picked Fowler.
Okay, so Ryan Ellis wasn't too bad. He was an 11th overall pick.
And what was Fowler? I'm pretty sure Fowler was 4th. He was right up there too.
I don't know why. I seem to think that guys
2011 that would have been.
Ellis was drafted in 09.
2010 was the Sagan draft.
Oh, overall Fowler.
Really?
Yeah.
Who the hell am I thinking of that went top
in that draft?
Oh. Wait, no, that's not, I don't even know.
That didn't sound like a good O.
No, well, who was it? What was the top of that draft?
Let's check. And also, the biggest steal they had of all was Roman Josi, who was outside the first round.
Yeah, I think he was way up. Was he second rounder? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. I think.
So good. Branson went 3rd overall.
Oh God, yeah.
Alex Burmistrov went 8th overall.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh boy, that's probably the one you're thinking of. Dylan McIlrath went 10th overall.
That's true.
And then directly after, oh my God, Jack Campbell was taken 11th overall. That's probably the highest a goalie's been taken in the last little while.
Oh, Al Montoya.
And that blew up in their face.
Al Montoya was a sweet pick up too by
Cam Fowler was 12th. Brandon Gormley and oh boy. Oh, Arizona blew it with Brandon Gormley because the pick after was Jaden Schwartz, and 3 picks after was Vladimir Tarasenko.
Oh,
that was the St. Louis draft that they
just
blew up.
You gotta love the drafts when you go back to the old drafts.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So this
especially when you I hate to hurt myself inside, but just going back to past Leaf drafts like JFJ era, Nonis era, Burke era, and seeing these picks like 2nd, 3rd round picks, and then seeing who was taken after.
Oh,
it's like their depth drafting was awful. Except for a couple, like Andreas.
It's what we call the modern day Oilers drafting. Really.
The Oilers are very bad at late round picks.
So
except their last draft was pretty good, I'll say. Stuart Skinner's like he's got like a 94 save percentage or something in the WHL playoffs this year. He's really good.
Yeah. I think you're starting to see that a little bit with the Leafs though, with Dermott is the prime example of what can go right. Timothy Liljegren could be that person, can be that player too. Morgan Rielly was their last first round pick for a defenseman before Liljegren.
Yep.
And he's the type of player that you knew, like he had the pedigree. A player like that that has the pedigree, and even though it didn't start well for him, can turn it around with the right player.
Yep. Let's preface this. As much as Timothy Liljegren is this future and he is going to be a star from all accounts.
From what we're seeing.
Especially offensively, he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Defensively, we don't know. I don't think you put him with the Leafs next year.
No.
To start.
I don't think so. I think you do it at Dermott again.
At the most, you give him his 9 games and then send him down.
Do what they did with Dermott, which was you called him up, does well, he did well. If he doesn't do well, I think the playoffs are where you need to see a little. Like, Dermott was great in the playoffs with the Marlies, and that's what got him that recognition.
And when I did my draft targets post, if you want to talk about the draft, we can do it.
That aside for another time.
I did a draft targets post, the last one I did, and I had 2 defensemen and 2 centers down. Now I'm like, the Leafs need to go defense. They need better depth in the system and more top names.
They need more top-end guys that you think can do something. Okay, I'm looking at their defense. I'm pretty sure Emilio Rasson is.
Mike Stevens, who's we know well from Leafs Twitter and whatnot, he reported today that Rasson's skating with the Marlies.
Okay.
So he may get a shot. I don't know if they sign him to an ATO, I don't think.
You'd have to, yeah. You'd have to, I think, usually they don't try to sign them to the ELC because of the
No, they do it contract. In the summer. The ATO they try because then it's just a cheap contract.
Well, and it doesn't count on the books, right?
Yep.
So it counts.
It counts on the Marlies.
Yeah.
But not the Leafs.
Yeah, because I'm going to look at, let's see here, in the system, that's what I need. I'm looking at the Leafs' depth in terms of.
By the way, Carl Grundstrom's making this team next season. I don't care. He's a machine.
He is the reason. Look, and people say
I rationalize Leo Komarov coming back next year after I've seen Carl Grundstrom play for the Marlies. There's no way.
You got Grundstrom. You got Janssen. You got, I guess you'd have Levo Martin in the mix to try to make a roster spot
next
season.
You've got Janssen. You've got Grundstrom. Frederick Gauthier is always there. I don't think he's going to play for the Maple Leafs next season.
I don't think he's going to.
Well, tell me a little bit because you wrote about Parlin Nome. Tell me about him.
He will most likely, if he makes the Leafs, will be a fourth line center.
I saw that because I had checked his Elite Prospects page, but he had said he could hold down a fourth line center role in the NHL, but that was also a quote from his agent. So,
well, but how many agents? Yeah, as you said, how many agents?
That's very honest.
Are willing to say my client?
My client's a first line star, future Hall of Famer.
I'm thinking of like Paul Heyman. My client,
Par Lindholm. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't. This is the thing with trying to find like a list of Leafs prospects.
But like Grundstrom, he missed parts of the season in the SHL this year. He had a knee injury, I believe.
He did. And that's why, people.
He played 35 games still. He had 17 goals.
Yeah.
Like 24 points. He only had 7 assists, but I mean, very good. He was playing with a lot of good players too, which could help. He wasn't playing on the same line as them, as far as I know. Frölunda had Elias Andersson, who was the 7th overall pick last year. They obviously had Rasmus Dahlin.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a good team. They didn't make the finals.
Yeah, so I think with Lindholm, the big thing for him was he was the top center on a really good line in the SHL.
Yep.
I mean, top 5 in scoring. Yep. That's not something to laugh about.
No, you don't get carried to a top 5 spot in scoring.
No, and it is the sweet shock. They kind of equate that to AHL, and that's why people are not willing to give him. I think the biggest... I'd say his ceiling is replacement Bozak. That's his ceiling.
Is he more skilled than Bozak? I was trying to find clips on him.
There's not much. He played for Sweden during the Olympics. And again, you can't find...
Well, now that he's with the Leafs, there will be more that comes out.
Yeah,
it's like when I was doing draft profiles on the Leafs last year, the only videos I could find of
Like,
Cara.
I don't see him playing at the rookie tournament, because I don't think Altonen did.
No. He's what, 26?
He's similar to what Altonen is, but maybe because he's older, he might have a little more offense.
How tall is he? Because I saw that. Some people said he was 6'2", and then his pages say he's 5'11".
You usually go with what the page has.
Yeah,
he's not small, but he's not big. He's about he's average height.
He's like 5'11", like 180 something.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Okay, going back to the defense, though. Okay, let's say since... Hunter took over because Valiev was picked the only defensive pick in 2014. So since 2015, you had Lindgren, Nielsen, Dermott, DeRochet. Nielsen is he's got to turn things around if he wants to.
Even DeRochet is playing college,
university. University of Western, I think. Yeah.
So he's probably pretty far-fetched that he's going to.
And then you got other defensemen like J.D. Greenway,
Keen
Middleton, Nicholas Mattinen. You have to wait for these guys to get to the Marlies.
Yep.
The Marlies are going to be the next factory of...
Greenway defense. Is the only defenseman I'm looking at is like a lot of upside out of that class.
Mm-hmm.
Keaton Middleton, we saw him in the rookie tournament, and he had a lot of turnovers. He was more of a defensive guy that's just big and hits people. Yeah, I don't know.
And then Mattinen is kind of the same thing.
Mattinen's the same.
And then you look at this past year's draft. You got Liljegren, Rassinen, Gordiev, and O'Connell.
I love the first two, Timothy Liljegren and
Emily Rassinen. He could be... I don't know how skating has come along since...
Rassinen?
Yeah.
He was still a pretty good skater as far as that... Well, we saw him at the rookie tournament, and he stood out for good reasons. I would say. He's a right shot as well.
He didn't put up the same... Like, he missed some time with Kingston.
He was flying out of the gates. He had a great start, and then started to tail off a bit.
Apparently there was... I think part of it also had to do with him not dressing for Finland in the World Juniors.
Yeah, that's probably a big deterrent.
But they also had, like, what, 5 first-rounders?
Five out of 6 first-round picks. it wasn't even close either. I think Henry Yokoharyu from the Blackhawks was their last pick, and he was, like, 29th, 30th.
Yeah.
And Rasmussen was, like, early to mid second rounder. So like, I mean, you had one spot and it was just whoever beat who out in camp. Whatever. Ian Scott, he's I don't know much about him. He came over to play for the Marlies. He's the third.
He had a shutout, didn't he? Or he
did really well in his debut. I don't think it was a shutout, but it was close. Kara, we don't know much about. Gordiev,
it was a shutout.
Really?
No,
nice.
Sorry. No.
Was it like 1 goal or 2 goals?
No, sorry. It was 3 goals.
Yeah. Still not bad.
Really?
He...
Oh, there was... Oh, who was I thinking of then?
I don't know.
I mean, Sparks has been shutting everyone out, so maybe I just got confused with
Ryan O'Connell is playing at, BU, I'd like to say.
Is that where he's...
I'd like to say BU, Boston College or Boston U, one of the two. Let me look.
He's a guy that's going to take some time.
The last guy I can remember that was big that was drafted out of high school like he was is Mark Jankowski. They made a big deal of him, but he was also, I believe, a first rounder for the Flames.
Fedor Gordiev.
Yeah, he's playing. Ryan O'Connell was drafted last year out of St. Andrews, played this year for Penticton in the BCHL.
Okay.
And next year he's going to Boston U. And he's still 19, going on 20.
I see.
So he'll be all right.
All right.
He has time.
Well, we'll look at draft stuff after.
JD Greenway, though, keep an eye on him because he's big and he throws his body around and he's
almost like his brother.
Yeah. No, exactly like his brother. He throws his body around. He can fight, I believe. He missed a lot of this season with...
there was something going on with...
personal reasons they never got into. I'm assuming there's just something in his life that had to be still fixed. His brother played in the playoffs, though, and he's got that pedigree now because his brother is a very good player. He could turn into something. It's just his offensive game has to come there.
Yeah.
He's more of a defensive guy for now,
I think. So.
And there's a guy he's going to be playing with next year that I really like the Leafs to take.
Oh, yeah?
That we can get to another time.
Yeah, we're going
to
do a whole draft.
As I will write my next draft post.
We'll do another draft.
Are we doing another mock draft?
We won't do a mock draft. It's just, as much as you like doing them.
Love it.
I just think we'll do something just because people just want to know what the Leafs are all about.
Yeah, no worries. I don't care.
We can, if you want to do a mock draft, so if you want to give me your picks, we can do that. I just don't want to do, we're not going to do what we did last year. Obviously, we don't have the same.
I can do a written one if you want.
No, we can do it. You're already doing written ones.
Yeah, I don't.
I might do my own mock draft because we're going to be like NFL.com. I'm just going to sneak in there with
just make every one of our writers do a pod.
No, I don't want to have to keep editing those. They're long. They take so long to edit.
I enjoyed the last one I did because I
you did those.
I went a little bit out there.
Yeah, I noticed.
With a couple of my picks, it's like 10 words. Generally, I do like the safe pick, mm-hmm. But a couple of them was like, "Hey, this guy's flashy. Let's take him."
Exactly.
So check that out, please.
So
I need the moral support.
If you're the Leafs this summer,
yeah.
People are saying defense is the priority.
It is.
Where the heck are you going to get the improvements on defense?
Could not tell you. Trade Nylander, I guess.
Okay.
I will
Nick
riot.
Nick Kiprios, I have no problem with him making statements like that. Glenn Healy, kind of do have a problem.
Did I tell you I ran into Glenn Healy?
No.
I didn't talk to him. He was at Pickering Town Center like 2 weeks ago.
And
he was walking through the mall.
Damn, it was too bad I wasn't here to say, Healy, huh? Nylander for a defenseman, huh? What type of defenseman is William Nylander going to pick up? If Taylor Hall went for Adam Larson, William Nylander...
Taylor Hall would have landed a better defenseman had Peter Chiarelli just fielded more offers.
Yes, that's true.
No. Or not. Sorry.
Or Cody Ceci.
Which could have been way worse.
Let's be real.
It's like basically
here.
A replacement player.
Boy,
if we were talking about that.
And I think Healy said Nylander and a pick. That's what floored me about it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and he's not suggesting that's going to happen. He's just saying that's what he thinks would need to happen if the Leafs want to get a defenseman. But what defenseman is out there that the Leafs can trade for?
Rasmus Dahlin.
No, sorry.
Did you see all the crazy trade scenarios involving the first pick?
No.
Rasmus Ristolainen? There was one, I think, by Jim Matheson.
I kind of stopped myself because it was Rasmus Ristolainen.
I believe it was Jim Matheson, who's an Oilers beat reporter, and he said, what are the chances that when the Sabres draft Dahlin, they flip Ristolainen to the Leafs for Nylander so both Nylander brothers can be together?
I don't see that.
Just throwing crap at the wall and hoping.
First off, how funny would that be to have Ristolainen and Kadri in the same locker room?
You should just play them on the same line. Just like
I don't think but Ristolainen is not a very good defenseman. Offensively, he's not bad.
He had a lot of praise coming out, and then the Sabres killed him.
Yeah, the Sabres are going to kill a lot of players.
Because Zadorov doesn't look so bad now in Colorado. Not the greatest, but
he's serviceable.
Yeah.
He was
they had both of them.
He was not an NHL player.
I believe they were the same draft because they were both on London. And I remember watching London used to have a show on TSN, like a 24/7 style show behind the scenes, because Marner was on that team as well before he was drafted by the Leafs.
Yeah.
So I watched it.
Let's see. Zadorov was taken in the 2013 draft. I thought 2014. He was taken 16th overall by Buffalo and 8th overall. Yep, Risto Lainen.
Wow, they had two almost lottery picks.
Josh Morrissey went 13th in that draft.
He's looking pretty good.
You give these guys time to develop. Yeah, they're hitting on those. Shea Theodore was 26th overall.
Yep. Oh. What did Leafs pick that year? 21st? Who'd they take again?
Don't make me do this.
I'm making you do it.
Say it.
Fred.
Say it.
I can't do it. Frederick Gauthier was the pick.
Oh, my God.
That was the draft before I got into drafts where I thought Max Domi would fall to the Leafs at 21.
Or the Leafs are going to trade up to try to get to
get Max Domi just for funsies. Yeah, I don't know. That's defense.
How did I not even realize that? I realized for all this time, what center could the Leafs have gotten other than Gauthier? And I think
that was the last draft where the Leafs drafted like morons. 2016.
They drafted for need rather than for best player available.
Players who have done
better than Gauthier.
Everyone.
Andre Burakovsky.
Every single pick.
Anthony Duclair.
Like drafted after him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anthony Mantha was 20th, so that was one pick before. I think that was a guy they probably wouldn't have drafted him because not a center.
I don't know. Truculence.
Hey, Jake Guentzel was a third round pick.
Oh, come off of it.
But
he's also a college player, and they're a gamble sometimes.
The Crosby effect as well. Ryan Hartman.
How's Aston Reese doing right now? The guy's a stud.
Well, didn't he get his jaw broken?
Yeah. Tom Wilson sort of did a number on him yesterday. But
Miles Wood was not a terrible pick by the Devils. Darnell Nurse was the 7th overall pick. I can't.
Oh, my God. I remember that because Donovan McNabb was at the draft. And I used to love Donovan McNabb.
Shea Theodore was 26th. I can't believe that. I didn't realize. I thought he was before before Gauthier, but then it was like Anaheim.
He didn't really come out as a top draft pick until he played for Canada at the 2015.
And now he's a formidable top four defenseman for
Vegas,
and I think he's right-handed too.
Yeah, that's a guy I wanted the Leafs to trade for, Shea Theodore.
So he's a left-handed shot.
There were a couple guys last season that the Leafs could have traded for that all ended up on Vegas. Oddly enough. Not oddly enough, but...
I did that, too. Theodore.
Colin Miller would have been great.
Colin Miller. McNabb, I think, was another potential guy.
McNabb, possibly.
Nate Schmidt.
All those guys could have helped the Leafs.
Yeah.
Vegas is in the second round. The Leafs aren't.
Man, it's just one of those things where you look back at these drafts and you just go, what were they... like?
What was... what's his name? Brad Ross. He was taken...
third round.
That was a famous Leafs miss.
Third round, I think...
That was a famous Leafs miss.
Brad Ross, I got it right here. So Brad Ross was taken 43rd overall in 2010.
Yeah, that's what it was. Brad Ross was 43rd. 45th overall was Ryan Spooner. Oh, yeah. 46th overall was Martin Marincin.
47th overall was Tyler Toffoli.
There you go. That's what I was getting to. 51st overall was Kelly Yarncroke. Oh, Justin Hull, 54th.
Jason Zucker.
This is a nice little walk down memory lane.
Okay, we gotta stop doing this because I'm gonna lose. I'm gonna throw
Calvin Pickard
my laptop.
Was also 49.
You know that GIF of the monkey tossing his laptop off the desk? That's gonna be me in a couple of seconds. So as we were saying, defense. As we've shown, you can get a good defenseman in the draft. Yep. The issue is, it takes time.
Yep.
I think Theodore was like Anaheim was pretty good with how they did it. Was that? I mean, it was also...
Well, they drafted all their defensemen. Look at their core now. They've got Manson. They've got Montour. They've got Fowler.
I will say this was pre-Carlisle, so they were able to draft these guys.
Good one, Randy.
He's gone. I don't see how he sticks around in Anaheim after that.
That was the least graceful
way to go out of the playoffs. He was drafted in 2013, and he was one more season in the WHL, where he has 70 points in 70 games.
Pretty good.
Then he was in the AHL for four games. He went back to the WHL for half a season, or something like, sorry, he went to the WHL, then he came to the AHL, finished up there.
You know, then... there's a couple people that I'm just interested with the Leafs. Greenway is one, because what I saw of him, his draft package that they put together, he looked like a very good project.
But the thing is, a guy like that's going to go to the Marlies.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not looking for him to come out of college and be the savior. But
this is what people are wondering, is how are you going to impact a team that is looking to move past the first round? Obviously can't do it with this defense core. How do you make that upgrade to get better for next season?
There's a couple options. Where do the Leafs range that they could take that could help them next year and could, after a year of college, make it to the AHL?
Okay.
And then progress forward.
Now, I'm talking about...
Greenway had 31 penalty minutes in 12 games this season, by the way, so he's got to cut down on the penalties, be a little more disciplined.
Could be also fights. You said he likes to fight, so that...
I don't know if they fight in the NCAA.
I would fight.
Ask Jake about that.
I would fight in the NCAA. This is just what I don't see. People are talking about this is just something that was thrown around. Dougie Hamilton in Calgary. That'd
be nice.
If
Leafs might have already had him.
Again, we're gonna do this.
Those wounds never heal, Dave.
They just
because we never let them.
No, we never do. I don't see. Look, the best defenseman in free agency is John Carlson.
There's a fair to good chance the Capitals don't have the money to re-sign him, unless somebody takes on Niskanen and Rorik.
But what did the Capitals do last time? They traded guys out.
I don't think anybody's taking Matt Niskanen or Orpik on that salary, though. Mm. Especially at their age.
Vegas.
Also, Orlov's making 5.1. John Carlson was on a deal and a half. He was making like 3.9 a season.
I can tell you in a second. John Carlson was making... His cap hit was $4 million. Salary was $4
million. Get out of here.
His cap hit was just... It's enough to say $4
million. And he had, what, 70-something points this year?
I wonder if the Minnesota Wild revisit trading Matt Dumba. Because that was
not after
a possibility.
The playoffs he just had. He played well against the Jets.
He did, but that might... They also need to figure something out.
I don't think
out.
Dumba's the solution.
No?
If you're trading Nylander, you've got to get a guy like Hamilton. That's a big guy that can log minutes.
But I'm not suggesting trading Nylander.
Oh.
Right?
Well, I think that's what Calgary's suggesting if you want
if
Hamilton.
You want... So I'm saying I'm not suggesting you go out and get a... I mean, you got, if it means getting a Dougie Hamilton...
I'm not trading Nylander, no.
You're not. I mean, unless...
Great, you have a good defense. Where are you replacing that 50 to 60 points in your lineup? It's not Johnsson. It's not Kapanen.
That's the thing. You're going to lose JVR. You're most likely losing Bozak. Komarov just doesn't do anything offensively. You need to replace that as well. I mean, look, I think
you're getting upgrades on not JVR, but Bozak. His output can be replaced. He had, what, 30, 40 points this year?
Yeah.
Johnsson could probably do that. I think. I don't know. I don't know what Lindholm's going to be or if he's even going to be with the Leafs.
And look, I'm going to say Mike Green is not coming here.
Dear God, no.
Do you look at a team like Vegas that has a lot of guys they have to sign and maybe guys that they can't afford to re-sign? Hmm. They have a lot to do.
Yeah, they really they have something. I don't think James Neal will be back for that team,
no.
Which will help them a little bit salary-wise.
James Neal won't be back. There's some contracts coming off the books, contracts that are going to stay on the books.
They have a couple guys that are like, I don't know.
Like, okay, I'm looking at the free agent market here.
What is a Zach Whitecloud?
Is Thomas Hickey a guy you throw something at?
I would throw it at Calvin DeHaan.
Is Calvin DeHaan?
I believe was somebody that was a free agent.
Is he? I can't even
he
tell.
He probably is cheap-ish. Let's be honest with ourselves. Roman Polak's going to be back next year in some capacity.
I don't know.
I don't think Connor Carrick's a seventh defenseman.
Yes,
and neither is Martin Marincin.
Calvin DeHaan is available too.
See, that's somebody that I would look at and throw like a $2.5-3 million contract at.
I just can't see where they're going to get free agency wise. There's nothing, nothing. Maybe no. They find a guy that you look at the Moneyball effect, a guy that maybe was underrated or
see, but Vegas. The thing with Vegas is they have Nick Hague. They've got Eric Brandstrom both coming up. They have Philip Holm, who was a top.
They're going to all be in the AHL, though.
I know, but they have replacements for those guys, so they can let them slide. I don't know. That's just... There's going to be something happening, because... I'll look through teams tonight and try and figure out, and maybe we can...
I just think, though, I mean, we talked, if this is going to be Dubas's show, he's had Nylander as a player in the Marlies. He knows. And maybe this is the year Nylander moves to center, which would solve a couple of the problems with the Leafs.
Yep. It would open up another problem, though, because you need somebody to play with Matthews. I'd put Cappy or Janssen up there just for fun.
What I would do...
Capping in with Matthews would be a lot of fun.
If you're not... Okay, this is one of the things two things you could do. Move Marner to with Matthews, Nylander to play with Kadri. That's a switch you could do. If you decide that you don't want to do that, fine. Could you not find someone to play with Matthews?
Yeah. Ty Ratty just got a new contract because he put pucks in the net for Connor McDavid. I mean, it's possible.
You're looking at free agents, guys that... I'm trying to think of guys that would work with the Leafs. I think Raleigh Nash could be an interesting guy to look at. He's going to get paid, unfortunately, so that might be a little out of it. I think Jake had mentioned Patrick Maroon. I don't think he's going to play with Austin Matthews, but he's a guy that you can get.
He's a guy that's played with McDavid, though, and he knows the role.
Yeah.
He's not trying to be something he isn't.
Hey, if Rick Nash wants to take a discount... Imagine Rick Nash playing with Austin Matthews, though.
He's got to get some stronger sticks, though, to play with the Leafs, because he broke like four or five of them in the series.
I'm saying they could do what they did with Patrick Marleau and say, we'll give you money, because they can pay him for the next, I think, couple of seasons and still be okay. The Leafs just can't afford to do a seven-year deal. What happened?
I'm on cap friendly, and there's a...
So am I.
Like, signings, unrestricted free agents, and then there's a popular buyout section.
Jake Gardner's on the top of it. I already know that.
Jake Gardner's there, and so is Matt Martin. I didn't even see Jake Gardner. I was
Matt Martin is not.
I was laughing at Matt Martin.
You're better off.
He's going to get traded, I think.
To who? I just don't know.
He's not going to sit there and be a scratch.
No, he won't.
And they're not going to put him with the Marlies, because you'd have to play him. If an NHL guy going down there, you have to play him like top two lines, basically. You can't bury him on the fourth line of an AHL team.
I think he likes it here, and he's...
Yeah, but... I think I've seen a lot of Islanders fans saying they wouldn't mind him back. If something could work out, I mean.
Come on down. That's what I was
conditional saying. Fifth, sure.
I don't know. I think...
On the condition that Matt Martin punches at least 12 people in the face.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do in free agency, because nobody expects them to get Patrick Marleau.
Yeah, and Lou said as much, or Babcock said as much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it.
And they didn't expect to get Hainsey either, so you never know. No. Your plan could go out the window, depending on
of deals. Those guys, if they're going to really want to get this defense better, it's not going to be a buy low, hope for a lot. They have to get somebody who has a little bit of pedigree. I'm not asking for a top one defense, but like Hamilton, he struggled in Calgary too. He's not, maybe his value has gone down. I don't know. But
I'm looking for, was Nylander right wing with Matthews?
Yeah. Him and Hyman are both right shots. They're playing off.
Joel Ward, Scarborough boy.
Yeah, let's not do
that. Bring him in.
I would like to see like a guy like Wayne Simmonds.
God. Wayne Simmonds would be such a nice ad. Also Scarborough.
I'm just trying to think of, what I usually do is I look at teams. Like the issue with trading is some teams are just not willing
to bring in Ryan Reeves. He can play top line minutes.
Thank you for
Wilts
that one.
He elbows people in the face.
I just look at teams that need to make moves that have what the Leafs need, what the Leafs have, and have what the Leafs need. Philly has some D man. They need goaltending. But the issue, and someone brought this up to me too. I mean, someone brought up the possibility of trading a goalie.
Joffrey Lupul's a free agent. Anyway.
Just walk out now, please.
Ryan Clough is also a free agent.
Oh, definitely walk out now. Are one of the Marley goalies good enough for a team to... I'm not saying trade a good defensive, but maybe a package gets thrown in. Maybe. I can't see... especially if the Marlies do really well in this playoffs, I cannot see Garrick Sparks back with the Marlies next season.
Again,
I can't. He's
great.
He's good, but I think he needs a new contract. So guess what? You would tender him if he doesn't sign his tender. Or I think that's how it works.
Yeah, he's gone. Tender him an RFA deal.
Let's see here. I got a okay. Bolt Cascasuo. I don't know what the deal with that is because they didn't even have him on the roster.
He's been in the E pretty much the entire year.
Or no, he was loaned out to
right.
Chicago.
Yeah,
because Vegas. I think it was when Vegas needed gold.
That's right after they traded Pickard. They loaned out Cascasuo.
I'm a moron. Sparks was signed to a 2-year deal,
so he's up next year.
So he has another year left.
McElhinney can't be waived, obviously. He can be, obviously, waived, but the Leafs don't want to lose him through waivers.
No, and I think people see he's actually a serviceable backup. And look,
there's enough teams that need a backup that he won't make it.
Would a team trade for a backup like McElhinney? But the thing is...
For the right price. I mean, the Leafs gave up picks and whatnot for...
I mean, but look, McElhinney is signed for $850 next season. Why are you getting rid of a guy like that? Why would you think of getting rid of a guy like that?
But if you have to make room for a backup if you're not using him as your backup.
That's true. But that's why I'm saying like you trade a guy like Pickard, who's also an RFA, to a team. He was only making $1 million and he's 26. Like he's a guy that I thought didn't deserve to get sent down to the AHL. I thought he could be an NHL goalie for a team. Like, look, I look at a team like Philadelphia, who still needs a goalie. I look at a team like... I'm just looking at teams that goaltending failed them. Let's do that. I mean, I'm not... We're going to go through this again of, like, what the Leafs are going to do.
One team that gets praised for their goaltending...
The Islanders need a goalie.
Islanders need a goalie. The one team that gets praised for goaltending but has a serious backup issue, I think, is Winnipeg.
Yep.
We saw Steve Mason as an
absolute mess. But they have Michael Hutchinson, who they think can step up. They have Comrie.
He's a... Yeah. No, they're fine. Just this season. I don't think the Winnipeg Jets, but they need to get out from under Steve Mason.
St. Louis Blues potentially need a guy behind Jake Allen because Carter Hutton might be gone. The Carolina Hurricanes.
Carolina's a tire fire.
But they've got Darling, so I don't know what that's going to work. The Senators...
Colorado to a degree needs a backup.
Calgary Flames, that was a big reason why they didn't move on or they didn't make it. Let's see.
Buffalo. Definitely.
Buffalo. Why wouldn't Buffalo want one of those two guys? They I think
Chad Johnson's gonna be moving on and
after those comments, yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
He made some comments that weren't very flattering.
The Panthers. Oh no, I was gonna say Dallas, but Dallas has been
what if Luongo decides to retire?
James Reimer time.
And you need a backup behind him. Arizona could potentially will need a backup behind Ranta, I think.
Depending on how...
Wedgwood, I think, is the backup for him.
Arizona, yeah.
Darcy Kemper, and he signed. Never mind, they don't need a goalie. Yeah,
they're good.
They got crap goalie for too long.
Depending on what happens with Corey Crawford, they're going to need a backup Chicago.
True.
Because so Anton Forsberg wasn't a star.
At the same time, my thing is, if you're at least going to trade a goalie, it's going to be for a draft pick. Like, Picker could land you a...
Oh, Edmonton. Throw. Edmonton needs a backup. Because Al Montoya was not the answer.
So, but didn't they... Wasn't Al Montoya re-signed?
Maybe. Montreal also needs a backup because Antti Niemi's a mess.
Yes, he is. But I think his contract is done. I have
Eddie to... Lack's been on New Jersey?
Yeah.
Wow. How the mighty have fallen. Yeah, my God.
He
was the savior of Carolina before Scott Darling.
He was okay. He wasn't the best.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's going to be very... I don't suspect anything to happen before the draft for the Leafs.
Hmm.
I just... Maybe a contract gets signed. Maybe. Because I think Nylander and... Nylander. Kadri and Rally were signed before the draft. I think they were signed
April.
In April. So if that's how Shanahan usually operates, that could be an interesting thing. Yeah, Montoya signed next season. So
oh God.
Edmonton's gonna have fun with that goaltending.
Yeah, enjoy.
So I don't know. It's gonna be very, very interesting. We haven't even gone to Blue Jays, but I don't feel like
Nope, they lost today. Screw it.
Did they lose?
They were down 4-0.
Okay. So they probably lost. But we'll get to them. We've been neglecting them, but they're in the just beginning of their season. There are some talking points. I'm just kind of waiting to see how things are shaking up for them. I usually wait until at least 2 months to really know what
you
a team's
until,
like.
June. Like,
yeah,
end of June. Until
May,
you start
May
really
is a good month, usually a good month for the Jays, but June is a good time to know what a team's position is.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it doesn't mean we're waiting until June to talk Blue Jays. We'll talk before that because there's only so much we can talk Leafs. Raptors are the number one right now, so that's probably what we'll talk about next week.
Let's probably hope they're in the playoffs by the time we talk next week.
That's true. They could be eliminated by that time, but let's knock on wood that that does not happen. Knock on your head. That's lame. Want to thank you for...
It's like a dad joke.
Yeah. Want to thank you for joining us again on the Tip of the Tower podcast. Again, we always want to hear your comments and any questions or anything like that. And we are... I don't know how it's working, but I got an email today about some potential changes with the podcasting stuff. But we'll see how... It's apparently going to be a little more user-friendly for smartphones and stuff. I don't know. I have to go through the what I have to do for that. So, yeah, Block Talk Radio, I think we'll still be doing it with them. Also, keep looking at all of our Austin's Got His Draft stuff on the website if you like looking at draft stuff.
New stuff coming.
Yep, we got TFC still playing, so we still got a lot going on with them. They lost Drew Moore for, I think, a couple of months.
Playing.
Which is not good. Like, Michael Bradley had to play defense. Let's not forget, that was one thing about that game. Michael Bradley played defense, which is not very easy. As an Italian, we know how important defense is, okay?
Yeah, he finished like a defender in that penalty shoot.
Thank you.
No worries.
Michael Bradley did it.
That's a good note, Dan.
Exactly. I got to get back into the Blue Jays, but Marcus Stroman, I'm going to write something on his struggles because he's struggling. And Jay Happ, I would say, has been my... it's just a couple of Blue Jays notes. I think Jay Happ has been my most impressed... like, the guy who's impressed me the most so far. Yep. So,
Lourdes Gurriel's hire is fantastic.
Yeah. Lots to look at. Lots to keep up with. Just head over to tipofthetower.com for all the latest. Follow us on Twitter. I know I've been really, slacking. I've been slacking a lot on Twitter. So.
On your social media?
Yeah.
Yeah, get with it.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll get there. All right, guys. Thank you for following us. Check back again next week or maybe a little less than a week. See how things shake up. And we'll hopefully have better things to say about the Raptors this time. All right. Catch you next time.
Bye.